Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. John is bearing witness to a war, not a battle. In the course of world events, a battle can, but rarely does, determine the outcome of a war. The outcome of a war, however, shapes the course of the future. Such a conflict is that to which the apostle is a spectator. First, there is the location. This war is being fought in heaven. Next are the combatants. On one side are the unfallen angels, commanded by the archangel Michael. Jude chapter 1, verse 9 tells us of another time Michael fought Satan, when Moses died. Michael, according to Benson, wanted to ensure the burial place of Moses did not become a place of idolatry for the Israelites. So, after prevailing over the devil, Michael buried Moses in an unknown location. The book of Daniel is where the most is revealed about Michael. In chapter 10, verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me," that is Daniel, "for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." Then in verse 21, "However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince." In fact, the prophet foretold of the times written in Revelation 12, in chapter 12, verse 1. "Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase." Three things are known about Michael. One, he is one of the great princes in God's kingdom. Two, he is more powerful than Satan. And three, he is the protector of the Jewish people. though not named, Michael is a voice about which Paul writes during the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There is only one archangel, and that is Michael. On the opposing side are the fallen angels, or demons, led by the dragon introduced earlier in the chapter. The outcome was never in doubt. The forces of evil are no match for the heavenly armies of God. Furthermore, the stakes involved predetermine the outcome. There is no way Satan can control heaven. The omnipotence of Jehovah cannot allow it. The unconditional surrender of the forces of darkness have another consequence. Satan and his demons can no longer reside in heaven. Gone are the days of Job, when Satan can have an audience with the Father. Continuing in Revelation 12, beginning in verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life, even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. The loud voice who proclaimed the transfer of ownership of the kingdom in 1115 magnifies the declaration. Owing to the defeat of Satan and his being evicted from heaven, the voice announces victory, although it is important to note the final victory is yet to come. Think of the liberation of Paris on the way to VE Day. Power, as manifested in the omnipotence of God, the kingdom of God, the authority of the Messiah. It is also very important to understand that while the accuser has no jurisdiction in heaven, he is still accusing the brethren in a worldly court. The brethren are most likely the martyrs. They have overcome Satan by the fact of and their proclamation of the gospel, even unto their own deaths. The rejoicing is followed by a dire warning to the earth and sea. The devil now lives in your realm with what fury remains available to him, and he knows his time is short. Continuing with verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Once the devil acknowledged his defeat in heaven, like any other evil despot who ever lived, he turns his attention to the most vulnerable enemy he can find. He looks for a quick victory. Here, Satan turns his wrath on the Israelites, from whom came the Messiah. The second Exodus has begun. Only now, it has a new name, the Great Tribulation. Pharaoh is now Satan. As the Savior said in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 15, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place," let the reader understand, "then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will, unless those days had been cut short. No life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." Back in Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. "But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent." Whether expressed in years, 3.5, months, 42, days, 1260, or prophetically, time and times and half a time, there can be no mistaking the time frame as being that of the Great Tribulation. Once begun, the game clock for final victory has been started. God's provision will be made available to His children during this terrible time. Think back to the Israelites' 40 years in the wilderness, when the Almighty made food and water available. Continuing in verse 15. "And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth." What John witnesses next is a maximum effort thrown by the adversary at the remnant. Fortunately, the natural and supernatural forces of the earth prevent the annihilation of the Israelites, just as God had done before. In Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 13, "But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent.' Finally, in verse 17. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Satan, at this point, is beyond frustrated and angry at his lack of success in his destructive efforts. He is now bringing his rage and dwindling resources to bear on the 144,000. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. God.